thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here with my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T is out, but you know, we don't have three-man weave, but
show goes on.
You know it. You know it. We can't make the running joke that he's escaping this week because of his picks of last week.
You would be allowed to say it didn't cross your mind, but
it did a little bit.
My man, he has some legitimate issues, so we pray he gets better.
Definitely.
And you know, we'll be here when he gets back.
Exactly. But it did cross my mind, though. It did. I'm not gonna lie. It crossed my mind. It was like another week because he promised, and we're gonna get into it later in the show. But he promised he was gonna get 10 wins.
Yep.
He got 9.
He did.
He got 9.
He came a win.
You went up. I mean, you want to come up. You were 11-5.
Yeah. If I didn't change my Green Bay pick, I know. I'd have been 12-4.
Yeah, I know. After I was tallying them up, I was like, oh, I had to backtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would miss that.
But yeah, I didn't though. I'm
sorry
all about that.
I'm so sorry.
I'm competitive, dude. I'm competitive.
It's all good.
Anyway, again, like I said, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Ray Jeezy, my boy Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally, Will T's out. But let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are the topics for the show. We'll have Lex Diamonds from Groundbreaker Sports to discuss the Washington Redskins' 27-22 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. At 8:20, we'll preview the Redskins-Carolina Panthers game. At 8:35, we'll discuss the Washington Nationals trading away Lucas Giolito to the Chicago White Sox for Adam Eaton. Also, former catcher Wilson Ramos going to the Rays, and Danny Espinosa going to the Angels. At 8:45, we'll debate if the Washington Wizards head coach Scott Brooks is overrated. And finally, we'll make our Week 15 NFL picks and fantasy football picks as well. At the moment we have Lex Diamonds from Groundbreaking Sports online to discuss the Washington Redskins Philadelphia Eagles game. Well, we lost something. You hit me with the.
I'm sorry. I think we just lost Lex.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
You screwed.
Sorry, man. I'm on the phone tonight for the people listening. I'm a little new at this, so.
Hey, Lex, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. All right, Lex, let's get right into it.
Wow.
What?
Just like that, huh?
Because you
No introduction.
I already did. Oh. I introduced, though. Let me do it again. I apologize. Right now, we have Lex Diamond from Groundbreaking Sports on the line.
What's up, Lex?
How you guys doing, man?
We're good. It's good to have you on when the Redskins have won on a Sunday versus the past where we've had you on after losses. So let the love fest begin, although I'm kind of feeling where you guys are coming from in reference to the Redskins linebacker core. But I guess we'll get there.
Yeah, man, let us enjoy our victory before you start bringing about questions about what we need.
I know. Ray is the negative one when it comes to two of those.
Not really. I'm good.
Really? You're not saying anything? Yeah, okay. All right, anyway, Lex, let's get right into it. The Eagles game. Did you see improvement from the Redskins defensive and offensive coordinators? You know, there's a lot of talk about those two individuals. What you nodding your head for?
Go ahead, let them talk.
Hey, Lex, yes. Did you see it?
I saw a couple things that kind of stood out. One in particular was the bounce that they've shown, I think, last couple of weeks. They're starting to, Kurt has shown you that he can really dominate in the passing game. But now, with Robert Kelly, a.k.a. Fat Rob, we got a running back that can actually run the ball. And I think having that balance helps this team out a lot. And I can't forget about Chris Thompson because he has done a really good job as well, coming in, kind of giving him a spell or whatever. But I think those two backs, having those guys back there makes the Redskins more dangerous.
So, all right. So, did you have any issues with the red zone within this game? It wasn't bad, but did you have any issues initially with it?
They gotta improve. I mean, they were one for one.
I know.
They were one for one in the in the red zone and everything. And yeah, they always need to improve because I don't know why it seems more difficult for them to score once they get inside the 20 than it is. Outside of the 20, But, yeah, I mean, they always need room to improve, but I'm really impressed with their offense. I think they have a dominant offense, and I think they need to attack more and really put their foot on these teams' throats because their defense is not as strong as it should be or could be. So you have to kind of play with your strength, and their strength right now is offense. So, hey, that means you got to score 30-plus a game and do 30-plus a game.
Lex, I love when John Lynch calls Redskins games, man. I swear, he's so objective, and he seems like he kind of likes the Redskins. But he did reference the Redskins leaning to the fade routes in the red zone. I thought that was kind of funny. But like you said, one for one, we're going to stay positive. I do want to talk about something that is controversial, and that's Redskins safety, DeShazer Everett, knocking out Sproles and Brent Celek. Dirty hit, as everybody's been –
wasn't that dirty?
Well, everybody has been deeming it a dirty hit. So what do you think about his play? How do you feel when the Redskins start to play with a little more passion, even if it results in a play that's kind of controversial?
Well, let me ask you guys this. Did he get suspended?
Not at all.
And did he get fined?
I'm not sure the fine came out. I know he's not getting suspended. I know that much.
Well, it wasn't a dirty hit.
Yeah.
If the officials, the guys in the striped shirt, if they didn't deem that it was dirty, then, hey, we can't just put a tag on it just because we want to put a tag on it.
Yeah.
He came in, he gave those guys, knocked them out. I mean, that's football. That's the way football was played, I guess, during my era. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, that's the way football was played. I mean, Sean Taylor, you know, if you go back and look at his highlights, Sean Taylor put a lot of people to sleep. So,
yeah.
I don't have an issue with it.
I'm with you. I think that this. No, I am. Seriously.
He's not Sean Merriman. I'm just talking about. Everett is not Deshaun. He's not Sean Merriman. So it's not like he's lights out.
He is lights out
within.
Now. He's lights out now.
Within the game, he's not lights out. You know, he went outside the rules. I'm just telling you what the people are saying.
The Redskins need more gangsters playing tough enough. I like somebody who intimidates people. He intimidated some individuals. Celek was gone. Sproles got knocked out the game. Hopefully now they put him in the lineup, have him play free safety for this team in the starting unit, not playing within certain packages. They may have somebody who intimidates people and could cover a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad Celek was out because Mason Foster can't cover anybody. The Redskins linebacking corps is one of the most frustrating linebacking corps to watch in the National Football League right now. And I watch a lot of football, a lot of teams. But again, we're gonna stay positive. This is a win. It's a victory. Let's continue to.
I mean, Mason did have 12 total tackles, gentlemen. Don't forget that.
He did get 12 tackles.
How many did he miss?
Somebody needs to tackle somebody, though. come on, Lex. Somebody has to tackle somebody.
I'm just saying.
That's
no lie. You have to talk about the stats. And he did have 12 tackles.
Lex, I can tackle Ray right now beside me like 12 times. My stats aren't going to be. I mean, my stats are going to look inflated.
Hey, I know, linebacker is one of the weaker, I think, areas, I think, on this roster. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But they got, what, 3 games remaining? Carolina, Chicago, and the New York Giants. I mean, if they can win those 3 games, I mean, they're in the playoffs. There's no question about it. I agree.
I think if they went out, regardless of what, you know, what people want to say, I think if they went out, they're in the postseason. But speaking of offense, DeSean Jackson made another big play, scoring an 80-yard touchdown reception to put the Redskins up 14-13 in the third quarter. Do you think his worth is underrated within the Redskins fan base? I know a lot of people talk about, you know, him like walking next season, but not actually having that push to say, you know what, we need to keep DeShon Jackson.
Yeah, I think a lot of Redskins fans, they don't appreciate what he brings to the table because they look at him and they see, you know, the bandanas and they see that he doesn't play the entire game and he's missing games or whatever. But DeShon Jackson gives you an element that most teams would love to have, a guy that's like your secret weapon. You know, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the old cartoon American Tail. And they were like, release the secret weapon. That's DeShon Jackson.
Now you got to
say. You got to say. And we ain't
you
that
know what I mean? You need that guy. You need him. And I know it's coming up contracts, and mm-hmm. everybody's trying to figure out, do you take Kurt, do you keep Deshaun, do you keep Gasol? If it's possible to keep all three, I was trying to figure out a way to make it happen, because to be honest with you, if you can add two playmaking linebackers to this Redskins team and we can keep these offensive weapons, I mean, we're definitely a contender for the Super Bowl in 2017.
In 2017? They got to build that defense, though.
I'm just saying, they need some linebackers. But if you add a playmaking linebacker mm-hmm. to the mix, and they can keep the weapons that they got between Crowder, Jordan, and Deshaun, and yeah. Pierre, and all those guys, if they can keep all those guys, they're going to be tough to beat.
Right now, you listen to Urban Sports Team with Lex Diamond from Groundbreaking Sports. So, Lex, I mean, I'm with you about Deshaun Jackson. He averages 80 – within the last four games, he's averaged about 82 yards per a game. He has one touchdown the last one touchdown at least three of the last four games. To me, he's a special talent. I know a lot of times we talk about people like a Deshaun Jackson, say they don't work hard, they don't do this, that, and the other. But you know what? In life and the world of sports, when you're special, you get exemptions. That's what it is. And I get sick and tired of hearing people say, well, he doesn't work as hard as Pierre Garçon. But this is – and Pierre Garçon is a great wide receiver. I love what he does for the Washington Redskins. I want to keep them all. But when you compare him and Pierre Garçon, they're totally different individuals, because Deshaun Jackson, that element he brings to the table is unique. And that's something that needs to be valued.
I think we're having the wrong discussion. The question should be, does Deshaun Jackson want to be a Redskin next year? In his press conference, he was not shy in alluding to the fact that Philly is a possibility. A return to Philly is a possibility. So you know he's thinking about it. You see a young Carson Wentz over there. You see a fan base that loved you, that wants you back. You see Chip Kelly's gone. A lot of changes have been made. You have the opportunity to come back on an offense that is pretty anemic and be that dynamic playmaker you once were, where you love to play football. You'll still be in the same division as the Redskins, being able to play against the Cowboys, being able to play against the Giants, and then you'll get to play against Josh Norman, which I think he wouldn't mind doing. So what is the incentive for staying here? If you had to choose between Philly and Washington, Lex, what would you choose personally?
Well, I would have my agent on the phone with the Redskins like for the next 3 weeks and try to figure out how we can make it work, because you've got a opportunity in his case to finally get a chance to go to a Super Bowl. Because I mean, you go back to Philly, you're not gonna go to Philly and Philly's gonna be an instant playoff or Super Bowl contender. He comes back with the Redskins with the nucleus that they have, the Redskins are definitely gonna be one of the top four teams in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Seattle, Dallas, Washington, I mean, who else is out there? Tampa Bay is up and coming, Atlanta's up and coming, but Washington is right in the mix. If you keep Deshaun with Kurt and Crowder and Kelly and Jordan Reed, I mean, you've got a really good football team going into the next season. So if I'm Deshaun, I'm calling the GM. I'm like, look, man, we got to make this happen. I do want to stay in D.C. I love it here. Just pay me my money. Give me something. Give me a raise. You know, add some years to my contract so I can be here. But I want to be here. I want to be on a winning team.
And I agree with you. I think you have a quarterback right now, Kirk Cousins, who's showing you some stability. And I think here in D.C., if you got Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins played at a high level, and with Deshaun Jackson.
Times have changed.
With the Jordan Reed, with the Pierre Garçon, Vernon Davis, Crowder, some of these weapons, you know, it can make life easy for Deshaun Jackson. But speaking of Jordan Reed, he seemed quite limited. How do you think that's going to affect this team down the road? Because basically, should they sit? In my opinion, I think they should sit him because it looks like he's just not healthy enough right now. But do you like the way they're still using him as like a decoy?
Yeah, they need to use him as a decoy because when he's on the field, he gives them a great advantage. And then when you have him and Vernon in there at the same time, it really, you know, forces the defense to, you know, especially the safety. They have to pay attention to this guy. And, I mean, he can do so much. He's, what, arguably the second best tight end in football. And, you know, he's a safety blanket. You know, everyone, if you watch film, you know Kurt loves to throw to Jordan Reed. So when he's in the game, the eyes are on Jordan Reed, which leaves Crowder, Deshaun deep, and Pierre on the slants, those mid-post slants that he likes to run, it gives them an opportunity. And it also opens up the run game. Because now you see Robert, it allows Robert Kelly to run through those holes because you don't know what the Redskins are going to do offensively when you got Jordan Reed out there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jordan Reed is, if like you said, if not top two tight end, at least a top three tight end in the league. Obviously, we could debate that a bit, but give us a prediction for Monday night coming up. Cam Newton and Panthers coming to town. What do you think is going to happen? Who do you pick to win?
Well, it's going to be interesting because it's a Monday night game. It's a prime time game, and Carolina is desperately trying to stay alive in this playoff push. I think missing Luke Kuechly is going to be huge for them if he can't play. And I think defensively, that is going to hurt Carolina. And, you know, the thing with Washington, they got to stay away from mistakes. Kirk threw an interception late in that Philadelphia game that could have cost them the game. They got to protect the football with the Panthers because they're still dangerous up front. That defensive line is still one of the premier defensive front fronts. So you can't come into the game looking at the Panthers' record. You have to look at the Panthers based on what they did last year. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to give the Redskins the edge. Not by much, but I'll give them the edge.
So you mentioned the pick six by Kirk Cousins. I'm on the side. I'm not even blaming Kirk Cousins on that play. I thought they got a little too pass happy. I thought they threw the ball first down and it's on second down they decided that's when they threw the pick six. And I believe at that time they were up 8 points. They were up
21-13.
Yeah, they were up 8. I just felt like, you know, old Joe Gibbs football. You run the ball and play that clock, and you win that game. And you don't have that situation happen. What is your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't know if, you know, running the clock is always the best option. I think sometimes play calling is kind of suspect with our offensive coordinator. I think that pass that he threw, that decision to throw to your wideout like that, I think that was a little more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the passes that he was throwing, I guess, during the course of the game, you know, just keep it simple like you've been doing, the slants, the short slants. You know, the little screens, things like that, swing passes to the backs coming out of the backfield. You know, all of those type plays I think would be efficient enough for them. But I think they tried to gamble with something that they probably should have kept that one in their back pocket.
Lex, I need a prediction. Josh Norman going against his old team. Who you got?
I told you. I got the Redskins.
No, Josh. You said Josh Norman, right?
I said going against his old team. That's all I said.
I think
you did pick the Redskins.
I think
Redskins.
Josh is going to have a good game. They don't really have any dangerous receivers.
Give me a score.
Know? Benjamin is good, but I don't see Josh. I just hope Josh don't get too caught up playing his old team. What I mean? Just all the talking like he does against Odell Beckham. I think if he can eliminate that part and calm himself down, because I know he's going to be hyped for that game and he's going to want to look great and want to get picks and all this kind of stuff. But he's just got to stay focused, and hopefully the Redskins' defense don't get demolished by Cam Newton and that Panthers offense.
All right, so put it this way. Do you think Josh Norman gets an interception in this game?
That's a good question. I know he wants to get an interception. I'm not giving him an interception, but I know he wants to get one.
All right, so what Ray was saying, give me a score.
You want me to give you an actual
score? Like, I'm trying to go to Vegas, bro. MGM's back in the area. I'm trying to do it. Give me a score.
Well, let's see. I'm going to give Washington 23 points.
All right, 23. Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to give the Panthers 17.
17? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be high scoring than that.
I think Skins will score more than that. But I'm going to hold them to
it. The Panthers are going to score more than that.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
The thing is, the Panthers, they run the football. They can run the football against the Redskins.
That's true.
And I think that's where it's going to be interesting because the Panthers will probably, you know, have the ball more because of that kind of possession.
You can't get Carson Wentz down.
They probably have control of that. So,
well, that's true. So, Lex, how can people view your content?
Well, you can follow me, HSRN. You know, we're doing college games right now. It's the college basketball season. You got groundbreaking sports. We're doing some great things over there, creating our own content. And then you can just follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all social media, Lex Diamonds without the A. And, you know, sometimes I'm talking about some crazy stuff. So you might want to just follow me just to hear some of the crazy stuff that comes out of my head.
All right. Hey, Lex, man, thank you for being on the show. We always appreciate you.
Hey, I thank you guys for this opportunity and enjoy coming on every time. And thankfully, you guys brought me on this time and the rest came.
Lex, I looked out for you. I made sure.
Hey, you guys didn't even talk about the Cowboys losing. I don't even understand.
Oh, look, I don't need to talk. Look. It brought a smile to my face, but we still needed them to win that game, though. I'm all for the Giants to lose. I'm all for the playoffs.
I would love to talk about the Cowboys.
We'll do that another time then, Lex. We'll do that another time. Promise.
No doubt.
All right. Stay blessed. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. All right, that was Lex Diamond from Groundbreaking Sports. You know what? We're going to piggyback on what Lex said and preview the Redskins-Carolina game after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig. Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Soul in Sports. Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
Sports Scene. I knew you were gonna play this song. I knew it was coming.
Look,
I was laughing
look,
the whole break because I was waiting for whenever the Redskins win. This is a common theme song, which it should be, by the way. But
yeah,
not on this show. You got to play it every week. Be consistent.
No,
bro.
It's called Victory Tuesdays. So you play upbeat music on Victory Tuesday.
Victory Tuesday.
Yes.
Well, at least the Redskins are over 500 at
yes.
this time of the year.
Yes.
Great
sir.
Time in DC. Yeah. Again, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. Ray, myself, my man Wally. We're also on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And now we're going to piggyback off what Lex had to say about DeSean Jackson. Is he undervalued here in the D.C. Area or the Redskins fan base? I disagree. I don't think he's undervalued. I think people know what he's capable of. And people appreciate what he brings to the table. What nobody likes about DeSean Jackson league-wide is – the level or the amount in which he gets injured. He is a smaller player, so that's expected. It's a physical game, but when he's on the field, he's a game breaking dynamic receiver, and he's a game changer. He's giving Philly nightmares. I love to see people get revenge on their old teams. It's great to see, and I think fans appreciate him. But my question is, does he want to be here? Is winning a Super Bowl that important to him? I don't know these answers. I don't know the answers to these questions. But what do you think?
I think money's important to him.
Money?
Pay him. I think you pay him. He's gonna be. He's gonna go where you, wherever the highest bidder, the higher bidder is. So I think to me, DeSean Jackson's all about the money. It's not a bad thing. If I'm him, I'm about my money too as well. In this situation, it's an ideal situation because again, this is a high octane offense. You got a quarterback playing at the highest level right now. You got weapons around. He has other weapons around him that can take the pressure off of him. And a Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed is like the primary option, to be honest with you. You got Pierre Garçon who catches some of the intermediate routes. And you got Crowder in the slot. So there's a lot of things. There are a lot of weapons that can make DeSean Jackson better within this unit. I posed a question on our Facebook page. It's up. So check out the Urban Sports Inc. Facebook page. Johnny Ford said, no, he's not. DeSean Jackson isn't undervalued.
Right.
My man Aaron Jones said he's not undervalued but underutilized, which I do agree with. But I
don't agree with that.
Look, he wasn't even targeted for most of the season until and to be honest with you, now he's now on a nice little run. The last four games he's been pretty remarkable.
I think the Redskins, you know, they have a game plan, they stick with it. And DeSean Jackson, as big of a threat as he is, he went quiet for weeks like that previously in his career. When he was in Philly, there were games where he would not have a catch. And then he would have these type of games where he breaks out.
That's true.
For a bomb. And it's game-breaking, just like it was this past Sunday.
In Philadelphia, he's targeted more. You got games he's just not targeted enough. And even in Philadelphia, they would run screen passes just to get him involved. Because they knew if he got his hands on the ball, he was able to take it to the house. This team doesn't do that with a DeSean Jackson. They do that more with Jameson Crowder, to be honest.
Is it safe to say that this offense, though, is built around Jordan Reed?
I believe so.
In Philly, was it safe to say the offense was built around DeSean Jackson? Yeah. Which is why
McCoy, to be fair. And McCoy. And Shady McCoy, too.
Okay, I'll give you that. But DeSean Jackson obviously was a huge part of the offense. Agreed. In Philly. I think he's a big part of the offense here as well, but I think Jordan Reed is your primary option.
Yeah.
He's your first option. He's your most dependable option, I think, as well.
Oh, I agree. One healthy Jordan Reed is the primary offensive weapon they have on this
team. And with the injured Jordan Reed, you should see much more of DeSean Jackson, which I think we're seeing. I have no issues with how he's been used. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay has taken heat for the red zone, which he should, but other than that, I think he's done excellent when it comes to managing his personnel. I will say that.
And also on our Facebook page, my man Jeremy Gordon said, and this is a good question, it shouldn't be is DeSean Jackson undervalued. It should be between the two, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, which wide receiver stays next season because they can't keep both.
Again, I think you got to stick with DeSean. He's not always on the field, but you have a rookie who appears to be extremely talented. We haven't had a chance to see what he can do. So it's time to develop him. You got the right coach to do that. McVay probably will be gone from what it looks like, but you still have Gruden around.
You think McVay's going to be gone?
He's being touted as a top head coaching candidate. Why not?
I don't know if he'll be gone.
Especially if the Redskins go to the playoffs and succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they lose their first playoff game, whether it's wild card round, divisional round, whatever. If they put up points and they put up numbers and continue to perform, I think he's going to get an offer, or he'll get a higher paying offensive coordinator job somewhere.
Feel free to call in. The question is DeSean Jackson undervalued here in D.C.? Call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You can tweet us at the Urban Sports Scene. But let's move on. The Carolina Panthers is coming into this game. We know this team is the defending NFC champs. They're still talented with Cam Newton, and you have Benjamin, good running game. Still a tough-nosed team to me, in my opinion. Is this a trap game for the Washington Redskins?
It could be. But if we believe that the Redskins are a new team, that they are not the same Redskins that they were 3 years ago, let's say, when these types of games will be difficult, then I think they have to go out and win this game. My biggest concern is the defense. Cam Newton is still Cam Newton. Bottom line, Jonathan Stewart is still Jonathan Stewart. They have the ability, being the Panthers, to still score a lot of points. That's why I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it was in New Orleans earlier this year. Carolina got down early and then was able to come back and tie that game late. So look for the Panthers to attack the Redskins defense, especially on the run, on the ground, I should say, because it's been well documented that the Redskins struggle against the run. However, you're coming back home after being away for 3 weeks. I expect the Redskins to come out excited. That's the one problem I have. They seem to come out flat every week. That bothers me. It took them a while to get going this past week in Philly, too, which had me scratching my head.
Yeah, I thought they were flat. They were. I felt like I was happy they were committed to the run. Early, they were committed to the run of Robert Kelly had about 16 carries throughout the, for the whole game, he had 16 carries. But I thought they weren't sharp. Kirk Cousins wasn't sharp early. The Eagles pressure was getting to Kirk Cousins in terms of like the pass rush. So I thought as a unit, they weren't on top of their game that we've seen in other weeks. At least, usually they kind of falter towards in the third quarter or whatnot, but in a lot of games they've started quick. But I think in this game against Carolina, it being a home game, Monday Night Football, knowing that this team has the Monday Night curse, I think they'll play a lot better. We saw how they played against the Packers on primetime. A lot of people thought they weren't playing at a high level. They played at a high level on primetime against the Packers.
I tell you what, everybody and their mother in this town has talked about how the Redskins need more playmakers besides just Josh Norman. But I tell you this. Ron Rivera, with what he's saying, I think he's going to fire up the entire Redskins defense. Just with his comments about Josh Norman, who's going to set the tone, saying he's excited about facing a quote-unquote stubborn Josh Norman. He's saying that's going to be fun, which I think he's taking a shot at why, in part why they released him, which I know they're regretting right now. Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to say I disagree with Lex on, too, is he said the Panthers are trying to stay alive. Maybe they're mathematically alive, but dude, they are done. It would take a lot for them to get into the playoffs. I don't see that happening. So I don't know what the motivation level will be for this team coming in. What are they playing for? Cam Newton is somebody who's so emotional. I would expect to see I would anticipate that, he still has a chip on his shoulder based on the tough season they've had. So the Redskins have a chance to do something that they haven't done in a while, and that's had back-to-back winning seasons. So maybe that'll also be a motivator for them, where the Panthers, I'm kind of lost again as to what their motivation is going to be coming to this game.
Well, their motivation is Josh Norman. You don't want to lose to a loudmouth Josh Norman. That's your motivation. What insight do you think Josh Norman can give the Washington Redskins about a Cam Newton?
To me, you can't prepare for this type. You can't prepare for Cam Newton. You can try. You can, simulate and practice, so you can have somebody play that position. But he's difficult to prepare for. It's about what Cam Newton shows up. Like I said, and we see the Cam Newton who has the sad face, who is upset about the season, who's upset with the coaching staff. You're going to have a good day against him. But my concern for the Redskins is if you had difficulty getting to Carson Wentz, but getting him down, then you better practice hard this week because Cam Newton is going to be even tougher to sack.
Yeah, he's going to be tougher, but I do think that Josh Norman does have insight of what Cam can do. If you remember, like last season when they got into that scuffle, Cam was picking him off in training camp. So Josh Norman
was picking him off.
So Josh was, he was picking off Cam in training
That's
camp. So
practice,
he knows,
though, man. We talking about practice.
Don't AI me.
We talking about practice.
AI me.
Not a game. Practice. Come on, bro.
I'm just saying, bro. He knows something.
Come on, man.
He knows something.
You've been in the Redskins training camp. Everybody looks good in practice.
They do.
You gotta admit,
they do.
Even the fullbacks look like they could be game breaking running backs. Even though right now they don't have a fullback on the roster, I'm just saying in the past.
They do. That's true. But I'm just saying, Josh Norman put that work on Cam Newton. Training camp back in the day.
Can he give you some insight as to their scheme, their offense? Sure, he can.
Mm-hmm.
But
habits.
Tendencies. I agree. But Cam Newton, we're focusing in on him. It's like with any great player, you know everything LeBron's going to do. Can you stop it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. It's a whole other animal you got, and you got to wrap up.
Cam Newton's LeBron?
No, I'm just saying top players in general. What's a bad example? When Cam Newton had that run last year, people were comparing him to LeBron.
Yeah, I got you.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. When you got guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady still in the league.
Brady's like LeBron. Brady's
on that level. Brady's probably a little bit above LeBron the way he's
true.
Won
that's
and
true.
Been consistent, but I get where you're coming from. Anyway, you got to tackle. Who else can rush the pass on this team besides Kerrigan? That's what I want to know.
Trent Murphy. Trent Murphy's
he made a big play.
Yeah, Trent Murphy make a move.
I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm trying to tell you. I don't know if you watched the whole game. I'm sure you did.
I did. Swaggy P gets
and that pressure. They were having a hard time just getting Carson Wentz on the ground.
Carson Wentz is like Ben Roethlisberger. You know how big dude is?
I understand that. But we're talking about Cam, who's elusive and has the size.
But Cam's getting soft. You see how we see the clothes he's wearing? It's not as tough as
not wearing a tie.
Not wearing a tie.
I've seen you with turtlenecks. You have something similar.
I have a turtleneck, but I don't have anything like that. Don't try to get on me. I got a Kangol hat and a turtleneck. Don't do that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
Cam got like colorful butterflies and stuff like that. And
okay, I will agree. Only because I criticized Kelly Oubre last week for what he wears. So I will agree with that. I'm not going to argue.
How you going to grow on my turtleneck?
We're talking about Cam. We're talking about somebody who's a top player.
How you
going to
grow on my turtleneck?
No, I'm just saying you have on something similar, so you can't criticize Cam.
It's not similar. I'm wearing slacks and a turtleneck and a hat.
We can do a shot of you and post it online, and we'll do a screenshot of Cam Newton. We'll put you guys next to each other.
We can do that. Yeah. It's not even close. Don't do that. Don't call me the Cam Newton of the Urban Sports thing. That's terrible.
That's a compliment.
Not the way you're trying to spin it.
Who do you think is going to win this game?
Pick the Washington Redskins. I think the Redskins score in the 30s. I think they'll be 31-20.
I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than that. I'll give the Redskins 37, the Panthers 31. I think it comes down to last possessions. Mm-hmm. Seven times this year, the games have been decided by 7 points or less with Washington. Nail biters. Every week.
We'll see. Anyway, the Nationals traded away their top prospect for Adam Eaton. Good move. We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listen to the Urban Sports saying, my boy Ray. I'm Wally. Will T is out. Hopefully we'll have him back next week. So I know if you miss Will T, he'll be back next week. So chill out, be easy. He'll be back. I mentioned before the break that we're gonna be talking about the Washington Nationals. They traded away Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez for Adam Eaton, center fielder for the Chicago White Sox. He's now at Washington National. Adam Eaton, his career average is .284. He's a good leadoff hitter, so he'll be able to play one or two within the Washington Nationals lineup. Still imagine that Trey Turner will be the leadoff hitter, but if not, you have Adam Eaton at leadoff, a guy who can get on base, good center fielder, has a lot of range, so it just brings more stability to the outfield. And then you can move Trey Turner to shortstop because they traded Danny Espinosa to the Anaheim Angels. So Ray, did you like the trade?
No, because you trade away two top right-handed pitching prospects. But I think moving forward, you need to continue to have depth in your bullpen. And I just personally, I don't like the move. His numbers, you know, last season were impressive, but 14 homers is nothing to sneeze at. I think defensively is why they really were looking to get him. You now will put where Trey Turner back at shortstop with him in the lineup. So Dusty Baker, I guess, knows what he's doing. I don't think he's calling the shots, but if he's managing his team, I'm sure he had input on this trade and he wanted to make the move. But, you know, to give up two top pitching prospects?
I think that's my thing.
That's a steep cost.
I feel like if you wanted to trade Ronaldo Lopez for Adam Eaton, that should be good enough. That's just my opinion. I think that they could have got more. They could have got a better player than Adam Eaton for those two prospects. I know Giolito, when he came up, he struggled a little bit when he came up for the Washington Nationals last year. But we're talking about a guy that in 2016, I believe he was the third best prospect in the major leagues. And he's the Nationals' best prospect, period. And now you're just giving up on him. And to me, you got Gio Gonzalez, who I do like. I like Gio Gonzalez. But I look at Giolito as a guy that could replace a Gio Gonzalez next season if Gio Gonzalez struggles.
The funny thing is the Nationals were previously in talks to get Andrew McCutchen,
which
I would, I guess, be okay with the trade then because McCutchen, the power that he brings. But again, this is what we have now in D.C., and we'll see how it works out. Do you think, you know, you're more of a baseball enthusiast than I am. Do you think that pitching prospects come very easily to where the Nationals can replace these guys?
Oh, no. Pitching prospects don't come
to are hard to come
They're
by,
hard
right?
To come
That's
by.
The same thing I was thinking. But, again, I'm more of a casual baseball fan
They're
in comparison to you.
Because we always talk – you talk about baseball, and let's look at series. Let's look at postseason. You can never have too many great pitchers, excuse me. And you're talking about a team that already has Scherzer, Strasburg. You can add in Tanner Roark, Gio Gonzalez, and then I didn't even talk about Strasburg to a point where Strasburg is a guy that you don't know if he's going to even pitch throughout his whole career. You have Giolito there, you have Lopez. These are guys who are pretty much high prospects. You could keep that in your system, and just in case Strasburg doesn't pan out, and I mean not panning out, meaning that he's say like a Kerry Woods or he's like a Mark Pryor, guys whose careers have been shortened because of injury, you have a Giolito. But you traded that away for Adam Eaton, a guy that I think that you can find somewhere. You can find an Adam Eaton. He is not a rare talent to me. Nothing against him. He's a solid baseball player. He's a great baseball player. He's not, say, let's go local. He's not a guy. He's not an Adam Jones. So, and I don't think I would trade those two to get an Adam Jones. And I like Adam Jones. I don't think I would trade a Giolito or a Lopez to get Adam Jones.
Is this a win now move for the Nationals?
Obviously. Obviously. But they better win. And they better hope that Giolito doesn't become a lights out starter with the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox, to me, win this situation. They get two starting pitchers.
Well, both struggled in the big leagues, you know, nearly three runs given up per game for each. Lopez, though, averaging 10 over 10 strikeouts a game, almost 10 and a half strikeouts a game. So I'm guessing that it's going to take some time before these guys fully develop into these awesome starters that, you know, you're potentially describing here. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how the move pans out for the Nationals. Again, they feel like they have a team good enough to win now, and this is what they're looking to do. But we know that this team has struggled in the postseason. Does this help you in the postseason, this addition? I don't think so, because you need bats in the postseason, and the Nationals have not been able to score enough runs.
And it does get any easier. You let Wilson Ramos go. Well, Wilson Ramos is not on this team anymore. You lost that. Adam Eaton, it does help out offensively. He's a guy that can set the table. You could hit him at leadoff. You could hit him at number two. You can move Daniel Murphy or Bryce to three. So there's some things they can do with Adam Eaton. I think offensively they could be a better team because they're going to limit some strikeouts and whatnot. And then you have the dynamic Trey Turner hitting one or two. It doesn't really matter. So I think, to me, in my opinion, this team to a certain extent gets better offensively. But the issue is that, you know what, how much have you hindered your team down the road? Because at the end of the day, I don't think this team right now is good enough to beat the Chicago Cubs with an addition of Adam Eaton. So if you can't beat the Cubs with Adam Eaton, you might as well wait it out to Giolito or Lopez, get to a point where they can be dominant. Now you can compete with the Chicago Cubs, because good pitching always shuts down good offense. So we'll see how that pans out. But I personally am not a big fan of the trade. Hopefully the Nationals, you know, hopefully this doesn't bite the Nationals in the backside, and we get to see what this team is all about. But we're about to go to a commercial break. When we get back from break, we're going to discuss the Washington Wizards right now are 9-14. Scott Brooks was supposed to be a great coach and change this all up. Is he overrated? We'll discuss that at the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky.
Already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards fuck my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward. Had a dream, I was king. I woke up, still king. Smap came, nipples mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the fucking illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on, I'm refusing to ever give up. Only
you're listening to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, my boy Ray. Will T's out, but we still holding down the show anyway. But I talked about Scott Brooks before the break. Scott Brooks was a guy who was supposed to change things here in Washington, D.C. He's the Washington Wizards head coach. Last night, the Wizards lost to the Miami Heat 112-101. Randy Whitman was supposed to be a guy who was holding this team back. Scott Brooks, I said his record was 9-14. Randy Whitman was 10-13. Is Scott Brooks a little overrated?
I don't think so. I think it's the hand he was dealt. I want to kind of take this debate in a different direction, if you don't mind, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is Tom Thibodeau a good coach? Has he shown himself to be a good coach? Tom Thibodeau.
In Chicago, yes.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, just in general, that's what we had. That's yeah, what we have to work off, right?
I got you. Yeah.
His Minnesota Timberwolves, who are talented, you love the roster that they have.
I love the roster.
They're 6-18. There has been no talks, at least that I've heard, about is he overrated? Should you fire him? So why is this discussion happening here in D.C. about is Scott Brooks the wrong coach? Should they not have hired him? It was just to get KD. Scott Brooks is excellent at developing players. It's going to take time. It's not just a bad team personnel-wise he took over, but he took over a team with a very negative culture. And right now right now the losing doesn't help, and it's difficult to change that. So I think give him time. You have a GM who probably is not going to be here next year. Not probably. He won't be here next year. The hard part is your core nucleus going to be here in place, which is Otto, John Wall, and Bradley Beal.
You'll have Bradley Beal.
Well, are you going to have Otto Porter and John Wall? It doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. Possibly. John Wall is not happy, clearly. I think it's more so the team right now, and he seems to need a change, which if you lose John Wall, who's the top player on the team, by the way, then Scott Brooks is looking to have even more challenges to face moving down the road. And then who do you hire to take over this team to find the right personnel? I keep hearing that Scott Brooks might do well if he just tanks this season and then drafts high next year because the 2017 NBA draft is loaded. I don't see any of these guys making an impact on Washington next year that are in the draft. Not Harry Giles. Jason Tatum is very talented, but I don't see him making a huge impact in the NBA his first season. There's a lot of players out there who are talented, yes. But right now, I think you got to give them time. Let's see if maybe they can turn this around. In the East, they're only, 2.5 games out of the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
So they can make a playoff run. It's just if you're in that eighth spot, you're going to have to play Cleveland. That's an automatic out.
Yeah,
so you want to at least get 7 or higher, and they can make it to the 7th spot. If they continue to commit to defense, which they're starting to do, they've been winning lately. They're just still 5 games under 500, yeah, which I think is the problem. They're losing the teams that they shouldn't to, like Orlando.
Yeah.
And Miami. Miami's rebuilding.
Yeah, Miami isn't a strong team. They had that game, in my opinion. They should have won that game last night. Defensively is an issue. This team hasn't played good defense. And the only reason I'm even mentioning, Scott Brooks being overrated or whatnot, and also calling You know, if you believe that Scott Brooks is overrated or underrated, whatever, call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. It's because Randy Whitman, he's a guy that we've trashed. I know I've trashed. I'm not going to say you, Ray, but I've trashed. And this team, to me, has been played better under Randy Whitman than Scott Brooks.
Why do you say that?
I just feel like they're playing, their style of basketball defensively. Let me speak defensively. They're not as sloppy. Offensively, I criticize that offense, but I think they have more fluent offense under Randy Whitman than a Scott Brooks.
They relied heavily on jump shots, and again,
that's what they're still doing now.
Covering the team, the body language was so negative in that locker room. A change was needed, and again, it's something that's going to take time. Scott Brooks is a good coach. If you let him now, that's where I guess the draft would come into play, because he may have the time to mold, you know, a young player that he, you know, has an input on drafting. Mm-hmm. I will say that much. Kelly Oubre, I don't think is in this team's plans for the future from my perspective, because he just hasn't shown enough. He's shown some flashes, but I don't know if he has what it takes to be a solid player at the NBA level.
Mm-hmm. I think he's starting to play a little bit more now. He's played good basketball, Kelly Oubre. They're playing him more at the four spot because Morris hasn't played efficient basketball for them of late. I like what John Wall and Bradley Beal are doing. I think to me Bradley Beal is going to the basket a little bit more, which is good for him. He's being more versatile in his offensive scoring. John Wall to me is kind of digressed a little bit. I know he scored 52 points not too long ago, but in terms of being that Chris Paul type point guard, there are times he goes 2-1-on-1 and try to do everything himself rather than utilize, say, a hot shooting Otto Porter, hot shooting Bradley Beal, or a hot shooting, no, I'm to be honest with you, a hot shooting Marcus Thornton.
Kobe Jacobino, who was on the show several weeks ago, made the point that when Bradley Beal does get open jump shots, the pass is typically coming from John Wall.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he does find who is the best shooter on their roster in Bradley Beal. But other than that, he doesn't have much to work with. Marcus Thornton is hot or cold. Mm-hmm. He doesn't bring anything else to the table, and he's overweight, which is a problem for me, as you know. Gortat, to me, is your fourth best player. And Porter is not a shooter. I'm sorry. He makes jump shots. 40, he's streaky.
He's shooting 40%. He's streaky to me. Range. He's a good shooter. No, I think he's a good shooter. Porter's a good shooter to me. He's a good set shooter. He's not a Ray Allen, but he's a good shooter.
Right. Well, see, that's my thing. When I think shooters, I think J.J. Redick. I think Ray Allen. I don't think Otto Porter. Now, at his position, maybe you can compare him to like a Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was a very
efficient shooter.
But to me, Otto Porter isn't even as good as him.
He's a good shooter. You're like really downplaying. He can shoot. I mean, you shoot 41 from three. It's not like he's shooting from college.
Yeah, right now he is.
But that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about now.
I'm just saying, historically.
In general. I'm talking about right now. He's improved his game to be a 41% three-point shooter.
We'll see how things work out. Yeah. Just like last week, no, we had the conversation. Is he a max contract player? I said, no, we got to wait and see. Yeah, he's 40% from three right now. The season just started.
I agree.
You got 82 games to play.
He's right now. I'm just telling you, he's a 40% three-point shooter.
That doesn't make
sense. But you're projecting. I guess you're projecting.
Is Draymond Green a good shooter, Wally?
Huh? Draymond Green. Because Draymond Green's jump shots are way more wide open than Otto Porter. I can lay down, give back up, and take the shot.
But does he make
Draymond
them?
Green. Huh?
See, that's what I'm saying. You're biased. That was my point.
I'm not biased.
That's what I was
saying. Draymond Green is a good set shooter. I'm not going to say he's a bad set shooter. He's a good set shooter. Who am I comparing Draymond Green to?
If the game's on the line and Otto Porter is taking game
Otto,
three, I'm not good.
I'm confident. I'm confident Otto can knock that shot down. That's biased.
You grew up rooting for Georgetown.
No, that's biased. That's exactly. But I can admit that though. But everything.
No,
else,
okay. I'll give it to you right now. Otto Porter shooting the ball well.
Yes, thank you.
I'll admit that. That's a fact.
Yes.
Everything you mentioned is a fact. I'm looking at the bigger picture though.
What's the bigger picture, Ray?
Is that has he always been labeled a shooter by you?
In Georgetown, he was a really good shooter. He made his mid range J is.
We
good.
Can't talk about Georgetown. He was dominant. Yeah. He hasn't been dominant in NBA,
look,
bro.
Has he gotten better every year?
He didn't get better last year.
Yes, he did. Statistically speaking, he got better last year too. He gets better every year.
To me, we'll have to look at stats. Yeah. I'm not going to comment further.
He gets better. I'm right.
Hi, Chuck.
It always goes back to that. All right. Oh, no. I'm not ready.
We'll have to look it up.
We'll look it up.
I knew we were going to have this discussion. But
I know we were.
We were talking more about Scott Brooks, and now it's all Otto Porter.
Scott Brooks, you did it. It wasn't me. I didn't.
What?
You put Otto Porter into this discussion. I just mentioned names about players.
No, I said that John Wall doesn't have a lot of shooters around him.
He doesn't have
you
shooters.
You took the discussion to John Wall. I in turn answered that, and
that
here
is
we
true.
Go. So
that
don't blame me, sir. But Scott Brooks needs time.
He needs
Thank
time.
You.
I'm done talking about Scott Brooks anyway. Up next, we're going to make our Week 15 NFL picks after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces.
Boo.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, my boy Ray. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T, who's not on the show today, he's having issues and situations. Will T and I went 9-7. Will T guaranteed 10 wins. Tell me 10 wins and got 9. So again, Will T failure. And also, you know, his boy Jeff Fisher got fired too. We got to talk about that too.
That's funny.
You know, because days like this. These are the days that Will T.
Yeah. It's hilarious. But Will T predicted that the coach for the Jaguars would get fired.
Yeah, and he was wrong.
He was wrong. not only did that not happen, but then Jeff Fisher, his boy, got fired.
I know. Hilarious. Too comical. Anyway, and Ray went 11-5. Overall records, Ray is 97, 78-2. Will T is 99, 76-2. I, Wally, am 93-82-2. So now, dude, you two games behind Will T.
Yeah, it should be one, but I made a mistake in changing my Seattle pick. But it's all right. I've done real things all year. I'm going to continue to do real things.
Say your quote, man.
Real people do real things.
Exactly. All right, Week 15 picks, Rams versus Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Seahawks. Give me the Seahawks as well. Dolphins versus Jets in New York.
I'll take the Jets just because Ryan Tannehill's out.
All right, I'm gonna take the Dolphins. Packers versus Bears in Chicago.
Packers.
Packers as well. Browns versus Bills in Buffalo.
Bills.
I'm gonna take the Browns in this one.
Okay. That might be a good pick. Yeah. I was thinking about it.
Eagles versus the Ravens in Baltimore.
I'll take the Ravens.
I'll take the Ravens as well. Titans versus Chiefs in Kansas City.
I'll take the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs. Steelers versus Bengals in Cincinnati.
I'll take Cincinnati. I'll
take Cincinnati as well. Lions versus Giants in New York.
I'll take I will take the Detroit Lions.
I'm going to take Detroit as well. Yeah, I'm going to take Detroit. Colts versus the Vikings in Minnesota. This is a must win for the Colts too. Must win for both teams.
Give me the Colts.
I'm going to take the Vikings. Jaguars versus Texans in Houston.
Texans.
I'm going to Texans as well. Saints versus Cardinals in Arizona.
I'll take the Cardinals.
I'm taking the Cardinals too. Niners versus Falcons in ATL.
Give me the Falcons.
Give me the Falcons as well. Raiders versus Chargers in San Diego.
I'll take the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Raiders. Patriots versus the Broncos. This is real similar. Patriots versus the Broncos in Denver.
Give me the Pats.
Give me the Denver Broncos. Buccaneers versus the Cowboys in Dallas.
I'll take the Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Cowboys as well. We both picked the Washington Redskins. Am I correct?
Yep.
And give me your fantasy football pick of the week, Ray G.
This is going to be a bit biased, but I'm going with my guy, Taylor Gabriel. Uh-huh. At home, looks like Julio Jones may sit out another week. You playing against the awful 49ers at home. I think Taylor Gabriel can go out and have a solid game and receiver for the Falcons.
That's a good one. I am going to go with the what's it, Daniel Pitta for the
Dennis.
Dennis Pitta for the Baltimore Ravens. Eagles. I know, right? Eagles linebackers can't cover. Pitta is Flacco safety valve. I expect to have a touchdown. I don't have him on my fantasy football team, but I expect to score a touchdown. or two. So if you are looking for a tight end, Dennis Pitta is not a valued tight end. He's a guy you can pick up and utilize. So take
Boy, that shows us where we got things wrong. Sometimes I listen back, like we called Derek Carr, David Carr, so many weeks.
I'm sure.
But anyway, one of those things. Been a great show. Will T, we miss you as always.
We do, Will T. But anyway, man, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. Mega Leaders out, big homie.